Gather this evening in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please stand, and we will begin with the call to worship. You'll find that printed in your bulletin. Lent calls us to journey along the edge, to anticipate the final trip to Jerusalem. Lent calls us not only to give up something, but to take upon ourselves as a community the intention of true participation in the mystery of God with us. Lent calls us to concentrate on our baptismal vocation, to be a sign of the new earth. Let's pray together the prayer of confession. Great and merciful God, you created us in your own image, but we would rather make you over in our image, expecting and demanding far less of ourselves. At the opening of this season of penitence, we pray for courage and honesty, that our self-examination may be searching and specific rather than safely general. Save us, Holy Creator, from being satisfied with feeling sorry for the evil we have done or condoned or ignored, and for the good we have failed to do. Move us rather to explore what we can do to make amends, to undo harm we may have caused, to make up for whatever good we have left undone. May these ashes, symbols of penitence, remind us of the cost of true penitence and nerve us to pay it. In the name of him who, though subject to all our temptations, was alone without sin, Jesus Christ, our compassionate Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? First lesson is from the second chapter of Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, it is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in ages to come. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priest who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Here is the first lesson. Gospel is written in the sixth chapter of Matthew. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's continue with our hymn.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 33 through 35 and 69 through 75. Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him, and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are the one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Jerusalem had been turned upside down, all in 4 days, and all because of the one they called Jesus. First, there was a chaos of jubilation when he rode into the city gates 4 days ago, riding on a donkey. Imagine that. Everyone was shouting for joy at his arrival, a hero's welcome. And now, tonight, he got arrested and hauled off by guards to a trial held in the darkness of night. The city has gone mad. I tell you how bizarre it is to see palm branches lying in the streets, the same palm branches the crowds waved in celebration only 4 days ago. And now they are crushed beneath the feet of crowds running to condemn him. Do you hear it? It is the drumbeat of hysteria, pounding, pounding. And it is the sound of footsteps running to hide, pounding, pounding, to flee from admitting any knowledge of this Jesus, lest they be condemned as well. Where are his supporters? Where have the multitudes gone? Those who wildly shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I spotted one man I was sure I saw with Jesus all week, but he denied it. Not only denied it to me, but denied it flatly three times, said he didn't know him. No way, no how. But the funny thing is, I later learned that he did know him and was even one of his closest friends. His name was Peter. How do I know? Because I became a follower of this Jesus after his resurrection, brought to faith through hearing the remarkable testimonies of those who knew him and loved him, Peter among them. Had Peter failed his Lord? Perhaps in those moments when flesh met fear, but not in the overall picture of his spirit and his faith. You see, Peter would later lay down his life in the name of Jesus as he accepted the same death as Christ, crucifixion. The only difference? Peter told those condemning him to death that he wasn't worthy to be hung right side up like his Lord, so they should crucify him upside down. And so they did.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 18 and 21 through 23. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man."
It was besides the Sea of Galilee that he found us. Jesus, that is. My brother Andrew and I were fishing, just simply fishing. And when he saw, and when we saw them and heard him say, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." We were the first, Andrew and I. We walked beside him, and the first of many to be drawn to his message and his love, and a message of love and forgiveness and of the eternal kingdom of God. He healed the sick and raised the dead. He walked on water and challenged the wisest of them wise among the religious leaders with the wisdom of heaven. He spoke of forgiveness and of mercy. And he spoke of the grace. No wonder the multitudes were following him. Who is not in need of these? You just heard the servant girl speak of my own denial of the King of Kings the night of his betrayal. But Jesus' heart was a heart full of mercy for the failing sinner. And this includes me. Can you imagine that I witnessed the dead come to life before my very eyes and had walked on water with the Lord Jesus Christ himself and then denied him? I had watched the lame get up and walk after being touched by him and had beheld the blind seeing, but when asked if I knew him, I denied it all. But in my weakness, every weakness known to Jesus, who, as God, knew the future until all eternity, he said he would use me to build his church. Is this not an awesome God? A God who trusts the work of his kingdom to those he knows can and do fail. But this is nothing new. The scriptures make known the flaws of mighty men of God. There was Moses who murdered, as did King David, who also committed adultery. Abraham lied and Noah got intoxicated. Samson was a womanizer, and the list goes on and on and on. Even when Jesus announced the news that he would build his church on me, the rock, he turned around moments later and addressed me as Satan, saying I was a stumbling block to him. The messages were indeed confusing at times, but there was one thing I never was confused about. I was loved by him deeply and completely and eternally, and that's why I followed from the start when he invited me to come along with him at the shores of the sea. "Come, follow me," he said. Do you hear him? You're invited too.
Let's stand as we continue with the liturgy for the imposition of ashes. Brothers and sisters, God created us to experience joy and communion with him, to love all humanity, and to live in harmony with all of his creation. But sin separates us from God, our neighbors, and creation. And so we do not enjoy the life our Creator intended for us. Also, by our sin, we grieve our Father, who does not desire us to come under his judgment, but to turn to him and live. As disciples of the Lord Jesus, we're called to struggle against everything that leads us away from the love of God and neighbor. Repentance, fasting, prayer, and works of love, the discipline of Lent, help us to wage our spiritual warfare. I invite you, therefore, to commit yourselves to this struggle and to confess your sins, asking our Father for strength to persevere in your Lenten discipline. We'll have a moment of silence for reflection and self-examination. Most holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another we have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. We've been deaf to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We've grieved your Holy Spirit. We confess to you, Lord, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience in our lives. Our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our exploitation of other people. Our anger at our own frustration, and our envy of those more fortunate than ourselves. Our intemperate love of worldly goods and comforts, and our dishonesty in daily life and work. Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to commend the faith that is in us.
We confess to you, Lord.
Accept our repentance, Lord, for the wrongs that we have done, for our blindness to human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty.
Accept our repentance,
for all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and for our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us. For our waste and pollution of your creation and our lack of concern for those who come after us. Restore us, good Lord, and let your anger depart from us. At this time, you're invited to come forward if you so desire, to have ashes placed upon your head. If you do not desire to do that, that's perfectly fine. That's up to you. Okay? But if you would like to, you may come forward as you desire. Stand and we'll continue. Accomplish in us, O God, the work of your salvation. By the cross and passion of your Son, our Lord.
Bring us with all your saints to the joy of his resurrection.
Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live. Therefore, we implore him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do on this day, that the rest of our life may be pure and holy, and that at the last, we may come to his eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you leave this evening, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.